afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers, and I think today we shall have some exciting information for you. You know, the last couple days, we have been following along at some of the sacred sites, and many of these sites are situated on important vortexes, and in a sense, many of them are sitting on lines connecting to one another. We had a show also about a book that I was reading, a channeled work that was called Anna, Grandmother of Jesus by Claire Hartsong. We talked about that the last week. And in there, Anna, the grandmother of Yeshua, was talking about the different initiations that Yeshua went through, about his several trips into Egypt. And something that came to mind that I wanted to talk about today is a church that is located in Cairo, Egypt. It's in a little area called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, Zeitoun, Zeitoun. And the fascinating thing about this is Mother Mary and Joseph, when they were fleeing into Egypt and they had the Christ child with them, this was one of the places that they stopped to rest. And if you've traveled lately, you know how easy it is. You know, you get into the car. If you're going a long distance, you might even get on an airplane, a train, a bus, whatever your mode of transportation is, and we can cover a lot of hours in a relatively short period of time. But let's go back 2,000 years ago and give some thought to what it must have been like for the Holy Family to travel that distance from that Dead Sea area over to the coast, crossing over the Mediterranean in a ship, landing in the head of the Nile headwaters, and coming down by donkey at this point, is what Mother Mary said. They were traveling by donkey. Just think about this for a second. Going over deserts, no corner grocery stores, not really a lot of people to help you. You were able to take some things along with you, but you had to depend on the land, wells that you stopped at for water, provisions that you might have been able to purchase from some individuals, and hospitality from those who lived on the land. And so this little area near Cairo, Egypt, at the time of the Holy Family, there was a well there, and of course this was one of the places, according to Mother Mary, that they stopped to refresh themselves. And just think about what that journey must have been like, riding on the back of a donkey for many miles, holding the newborn child. And there they rested. Now, how we know that this was a place where Mother Mary needed to rest is that she actually appeared to an individual and asked that a church be built there. And it is standing there today. I have put a copy of this picture. It's a Coptic Orthodox church, and it is the one that is in Cairo, Egypt. It is the place where Mother Mary and the Holy Family rested. It is the church that Mother Mary asked to be built. Now, the fascinating thing about this, and I truly think this is fascinating, is that she said if this church would be built, that every 50 years she would come back and she would proclaim herself and she would visit the church. And in 1968, it was a 50-year anniversary of the church being built. And for a whole year, Mother Mary was seen on the top of this church. She proclaimed herself to the world. People of all religions saw it. Like I said, she was there for a whole year. Off and on, mostly at night, though she was seen sometimes during the day. She walked around the complete roof. If you do a search on the internet and put in the name of the place, Zeitoun, you will find all kinds of websites that come up. There are pictures that photographers had taken of some of the most incredible things that had happened during that year. There's more pictures inside the church. And I had, something had fallen into my hands a few years back. An individual was talking about the many sites where there were churches dedicated to Mother Mary, and this was one of his favorites. And I went to Egypt with Astara, which is a group. We had probably about 50 people with us. And I was very excited when the bus pulled up to this church. It had been on my mind what a special place this was, and here we were. They were making an unannounced visit to this church. And as I was outside, right away, you can feel Mother Mary's presence. Even before you go inside of the church, you can feel her presence there. And there is a picture on the inside that an artist had drawn, painted actually, of a vision that she had of Mother Mary. Her presence is there. The entire roof is a most remarkable picture painted of her that is so beautiful. Like I said, it is a very special place. And during this entire year of 1968 to 1970, there were many, many miracles that were performed at this particular place. And I think one of the interesting things about this is so many people from many different religions and faiths came to see Mother Mary in Cairo, Egypt. It is a Coptic Orthodox church, but there were Protestants and Egyptians and foreigners who were there, Catholics and Muslims and Jews. People from all walks of life during that year saw Mother Mary there. The sick were cured and the blind people received their sight. But most importantly is so many people who were not aware of the Queen of Heaven realized that there was such a thing as a Queen of Heaven, and she places her feet on this planet so she can be close to us and will come to heal us. Now, during many of these visions, there were a great deal of phenomena that was there. And there are so many photographs of things that had been seen where they were luminous heavenly beings shaped like doves flying over the church. They appeared from nowhere, and there came Mother Mary. So many miracles were happening there. Excuse me. There was a little booklet that I was able to find and picked up there, talked about some of the miracles, and one particular miracle I was very, very impressed with. By the way, if for some reason you have visited this church, call in, share your experience with the listeners, and give us some input into what you might have experienced while you were there. The phone number here is 877-876-5227. Now, one of the stories was that during the year, there was a Muslim lady who wanted to visit the church, and she was taking her child with her. She came from a very long distance, and she took a train. And as she was getting off of the train, there was a lot of pressing and pushing so that she was separated from her son. And as she was pushed outside of the train, she sees her son being pushed out also, except he fell, instead of making his way to the platform, he fell between the platform and the edge of the train, so he fell down where the wheels were. He was so frightened, naturally. The mother thought the train was going to roll over him and where he would die, so she was really fraught with anxiety. The train takes off, moves down the tracks, and she looks down to where the train was originally, and there was her son lying between the two rails. And when he was brought up, what he said to his mother is that there was a lady who came to him and lay over him and told him, "Do not be afraid. I am here to protect you. Just keep your head down," which he did, and the train moved over and he survived. The interesting thing is when they brought him up, he had one mark on his forehead from this particular incident, and it was a scratch that was in the shape of a cross. And of course, the mother believed that this was Mary who had protected her son. So many miracles happened during that particular time. It was a remarkable time. So, as I said earlier, this church was built to honor Mother Mary, and it was at her request. She said she was exceedingly tired at this point, and she wanted this church built as a memory to her. But the church is more than that. It is a link between she and us, her children. I think it is interesting that the miracles that she presented was to so many different nationalities, people of many different religious beliefs, and she doesn't discriminate in any way. She looks at all of the children as on earth as her children. She is their mother. Well, interestingly, when I was gathering the pictures and putting this picture up on the website, for those of you who are familiar with some of the work that I do work with the Masters. And Mother Mary came to me as I am putting this up on the website. And this is what she said. She said that her presence is there in the church. And if hearing about the story that you wish to connect with her, all you have to do is look at the picture and in your mind's eye, understand that her essence is there and have the desire to connect with her essence. Because now that we're understanding more about the different mystical sciences, we understand what thought means. Our thoughts and beliefs bring into our experience what we are thinking about. And desires are very important. So if you desire for her to come into your life, she said, that is all you have to do. Look at the picture. Desire to connect with her. Invite her into your presence, and she will come. She says she will come with healing, and she will also come with information. If any of you who are listening to my voice, either on this particular radio show or in the archives, you know that Mother Mary is one who has been present at our conference calls. And as such, some of the information that has come through has been that Mother Mary has been given the authority to decide what information will be released to the world as far as the information on ascension is concerned. And there are some of the spiritual hierarchy who felt that we should be given a little bit of the time so that people could integrate it and not be in fear. Some people said that we should be given information as needed, but Mother Mary has said that we should be given all of the information at one time that we wish to understand. And so knowing that she is the member of the spiritual hierarchy who has the control of the ascension information in her hands, so to speak, and for her to be making this statement, that connect with her, ask her essence to come into your life, bringing either healing or information that you might want to know with regards to ascension, and she will come and she will give this to you. So, my friends, I think that that is a particularly joyful message. Now, the other thing that we have to look forward to is the next 50 years. So she will come again at the 50-year anniversary. I asked if this particular area was situated on a particularly strong energy line, and I was told that no, not particularly. It's not one of those vortex areas, but it was an area that Mother Mary, you might say, was sentimental about, in the sense that it was very much a part of her life, a place that she remembered, a place where she had great fatigue, a place where she was refreshed at the well. And of course, for those of you who are aware of this, one of the areas that they, Mother Mary and the Holy Family were going to, was the community in Egypt that was a member of the Essene community. Mother Mary and the one that we call Saint Joseph were Essenes, as well as Yeshua. They were part of the Essene community. They had relatives that were in Egypt, so it was a very natural thing for them to travel from the Holy Land and make, even though it was an arduous journey, it was very natural for them to go because they would be with relatives. They would find sanctuary among members of their own community. So, my friends, give me a call, 877-876-5227. So there's not a lot more to tell about this particular site other than there are other places in the world where Mother Mary has a particularly close connection. And, of course, there are several of them in Spain. I'm thinking of Garabandal, and also Lourdes. Of course, there is Fatima. And the interesting thing about all of these places, whether we're talking about Cairo, Egypt, or we're talking about some of these other places, is that Mother Mary's essence is there. And that, to me, is one of the beautiful things. So if there has been any of you who are listening to my voice who has visited one of these particular sites, give me a call, 877-876-5227. Call and share your stories with our friends who are listening. When I was in Lourdes, one of the things that struck me was the many souls who needed great physical healing. Some of them were in wheelchairs. Some of them were on stretchers. They couldn't even sit up to be in a wheelchair. And they came in droves to immerse themselves in the waters of at Lourdes. And one of the things that struck me so was the great devotion that the people, the volunteers who worked there, who sacrificed their time, and it is truly a labor of love, and they spend a great deal of time there working with the people. It was one of those few places, a rare place, where you can go, and there's no commercialism, there's nothing for sale. Now, this is not true on the outskirts, but there at inside Lourdes itself, you have just this great feeling of love and devotion. And the people who work there, you can feel their love. Now, they're donating their time, but I never have been to a place where I felt such a high spiritual level of people serving one another. Even to go and bathe in the waters, everyone handled each other as they helped them into the water and out of the water with such great love and honor and respect. It was a beautiful experience. Now, I have to tell you, the water there is very cold. It's not for the faint of heart. It's coming out of the mountains, and you get in the water, and it is quite a shock. But the interesting thing is, when, and I don't know what the explanation for this is, when you get out of the water, you are completely dry. It's not like you have to take a towel and wipe yourself off. I don't know if it's because of the temperature of the water, but I've been in cold water before, and it never had that particular effect upon me. You get out of the water, and immediately you are dry. You can put your clothing on, and you don't have to worry about getting your clothing wet. The other particular thing about Lourdes, again, is you feel the great love of a mother. You feel her essence just as you feel it in Cairo. And if you concentrate, you can see her energy. You can see her through your third eye. It was how I saw her. You could see the outline of where her energy body ends. You can see the different colors inside of her energy body. And she does speak to you individually with your own particular message. She is there for all of her children. It is quite a remarkable experience. It is one of the places, as I said, that I felt such great love. And the people who sing there, they just pour out such great love. And people come from all over the world. They bring their banners. They have different sayings that they bring that proclaims their love. It is probably in emotion the closest that you can feel to the upper higher dimensions and still be here on Earth, it is a place that is completely dedicated to love. There are processions there. You become wrapped up in the sense of what a special holy place that it is. As a matter of fact, this sense of reverence and the way it makes you feel when you go to these different places where Mother Mary is coming close to her children, they all seem to me to have this same sense of reverence, this same sense of the personality that is there, the one that you can go and meet. Now, in the mountains in the Pyrenees, there is also a place, Garibaldi. Doesn't have a church there, but there were some children who experienced visits by Mother Mary, very similar to what went on at Lourdes. And Mother Mary supposedly has given promises to the children at Garibaldi. The hill where they saw Mother Mary is really very steep. I found it difficult to climb to the top. More difficult to come down, actually. But so many of these places where you go, you are glad that you have been there. You are glad that you had an opportunity on some level to meet the masters. And while we were there, we had great joy to have chatted with one of the children who still lives there, who could recount to us the story of the Virgin's visits. So there are many places like this around the world. If you have a special place where you have been that was dedicated to Mother Mary or to some other master, give us a call. Share your experiences with us, 877-876-5227. Going back to one of the other, golly, there's so many places that I've been to that I just think is so remarkable. Since we don't have someone calling in right now, what I will do is go to another place. And this is in the south of France, Rennes-le-Château. It is quite a remarkable place. I don't think the real story of Rennes-le-Château has actually been given out to the world. The story that is on the surface, basically, is, you might say, a bit of mystery, that one of the parish priests, as he was redecorating the church, supposedly found some ancient documents inside the altar. We don't really know if this is true, but there is talk of a treasure. And, of course, that area has had many warriors who have come through with treasure that could have been buried. It's hard to say exactly, other than this particular parish priest seemed to have a lot of money that he was spending on decorating the church, and more money than what he could possibly have accumulated being a small country priest. I I realized there is something very special about the church because, number one, they only let you go in there for a very short period of time. They don't let you stay in there too long, and they ask you to come out. Well, I understood very quickly why they do that, because there is something about that particular location that as soon as you go in there and you sit down, at least I felt this for myself, I was immediately in an altered state. And so a part of you, it is like the exterior of you shuts down in the sense that you immediately want to go to sleep. And it could be that they are asking you to come out before you're in there too long, so this does not become something that is well known. But everyone that I was with, we found this to be very accurate, that to go into the church on top of Rennes Le Chateau, you quickly went into an altered state. What I found, and of course this is through my own observation, not anyone telling me, what it looked like under the ground was like if you think of a train station with tracks coming in from all different directions and like a switching station. A train could come in on one track and be switched over to another track going in another direction. This is what it looked like to me at that location. There were all kinds of energy lines. It was an interdimensional highway, just where all of these lines went to, I don't know. I was just there, and I observed them. It was one of those places that I wish I could have stayed there for a long time to do some studying, to do some observation, to do meditation. But I was with a group, and we only had a relatively short period of time that we could stay there. But it was definitely one of those places where I want to go again. I want to find out more about this interdimensional highway. Montsecours is not very far from Rennes Le Chateau. That also is another interdimensional highway. Now, I couldn't see if the two of them were connected to one another. It would make good sense that it was, since both of them are very strong energy portals. We have others from not only other dimensions, but other star systems who come to this planetary sphere and who are working with us to help elevate humanity. Now, I know that this might seem a little strange. We talk about flying saucers. We wonder when they're going to land. Now, I'm not saying that there are not flying saucers out there. What I am saying is perhaps we need to think outside of the box. Do beings from another dimension have to come to our dimension by means of a flying saucer? Or are they able to enter dimensional travel, interdimensional highways that's not really like space travel as we think of it, where you're using energy of some sort to propel a vehicle? Is there a possibility that beings from other places can travel and follow a string. We've learned enough about the string theory. Is this possible that beings from other dimensions, from other planetary systems, can follow a string and enter our sphere through an interdimensional PowerPoint? So give me a call if some of this conversation has jogged a thought in your mind. 877-876-5227. Personally, I believe this. I think we have interdimensional doorways that people from other star systems have come, actually reside at places where some of these interdimensional doorways are. And we have some here in the United States also. How about calling in and giving your thoughts? What places here in the United States have some interdimensional doorways? What mountain ranges, what mountain peaks do you know of that house the homes of different masters that perhaps are entranceways into the interior? Is Mount Shasta one of them? What do you think? What others might be here in the United States that you're aware of? How about Sedona? You know, it might be a little difficult to travel to other countries, but maybe a lot easier to travel here in the States. The first time that I went to Sedona, I had a remarkable experience there. I had seen myself as a South American Indian. Every time we went up to, well, I had stayed at a hotel that was located at Bell Rock, and every time I went in and out of the hotel, I saw the same scene. It was a group of American Indians. They were riding ponies. They were gathering at the foot of Bell Rock. And they honored the four corners, the north, the south, the east, and the west. They had gathered together for a very special conference. And what this conference was about is these were the shaman from the different tribes. And the shaman were having visions. And what these visions were about is the white man was going to be approaching their lands soon. And so the shamans had grouped together to share their stories with one another, things that they had seen, future events that they were witnessing. And each of the shamans were going to take back all the stories to their particular chief. And it was a very fascinating picture because they knew when the white man came, that their way of life was going to change, and change drastically. Some of the Indians decided that they were going to fight for their lands, and we know who they were. All we've got to do is look back in the history books for those who fought for their land. There were others who decided that they were going to try and coexist with the white man and live peacefully. And again, there's several tribes that come to mind. Interestingly, there was another group. They didn't wish to fight. They didn't wish to coexist. They wanted to live in what they perceived to be their way of life. So what they did as a group, they decided to walk into the next dimension. They took all they owned. They took their ponies. They had their clothing. They took everything that they owned, and they walked into the next dimension. And they, some of them, are at Montezuma's Well. They are not living where they trod the land, where you see their footprints on the land, but they are there. They are there with their ponies in the next dimension. They have everything. And they are very much aware of those people who come and go around that particular area, Montezuma's Well. They believe that that is where the Creator Gods came and created the world. It's a very fascinating place. And if you go there, you might even hear them speak. I was there with a couple ladies, and we were doing ceremony there at the well. It is a very, I think, special and sacred place. And as we are doing ceremony along the ridge around the well, we could see many of the Indians sitting on their ponies watching us. You didn't see them like you would see your neighbor, like you would see a family member where they were in the hard physical, but you saw the outline of them. It was almost as if you could see through them, but you could see their outlines. You were aware that they were there. And there is this belief among people who live in the area that this is where they, the Indians went into the next dimension. I find that event and that story so fascinating. How could somebody decide that they are going to go into the next dimension and take everything with them? There are a few pieces that is artifacts that have been found by the scientists as they have done some digging. The Zunis have a story of some of the ancient ones, they call them. There's only a few artifacts that have been found, a few toys, of a few children's toys. You might have seen them in some museums or on the internet. There is a group of Zuni who are still here, but the ancient ones, that part of their tree, have in effect disappeared. And I believe that these were the ones who walk into the next dimension. And when I was there in Arizona, I talked to a very interesting gentleman, and he was talking about the different census that were taken. In other words, the government had taken a census, and there was a lot of Indians in that particular area, and the next census that they took, there wasn't any. And they couldn't figure out what happened to them. And it was one of the things that determined that our government could just go in and take the land because there was no one living there. And some of the great areas there that are now national parks were part of these tribal lands. It wasn't until this particular century that there became an interest in that part of the world because it was believed that there wasn't water. And it was John Wayne's movies that he had made that were filmed in the area that piqued people's interest. And later they discovered that there was water underneath of the land. Fascinating area. Call me. Tell me. We have about 10 more minutes. Have you been to Sedona? Have you been within the energy of the vortices? What did you learn from it? Have you been to any of these other sites that we have been talking about this afternoon? What did you learn? What did you walk away with? You can't go to any of these areas without being awed at the sacredness of the place. Our number here is 877-876-5227. So one of the things that the American Indians did that we know of, they went through a period of purification. And there is a stream there where the Indian would have been part of the ritual of bathing in the stream. And I suspect that he probably also bathed his horse there. And he would then move to another particular area, might have even taken some of the special mushrooms, and gone on a trip to learn more about the inner workings of his mind, of his heart, perhaps the outer working of the dimensions. What is beyond his heart? What is beyond his mind? And so he went on a journey. How long he stayed, I'm not sure. I think it depended on how long it took for him to have his own special experience during that journey. How long it took for him to find the visions that he was looking for. So, folks, I know there has to be someone out there who has been to some of these sites. Arizona, and Sedona in particular, is a very, a lot calls us there. And not too far from Sedona, of course, is the Great Yellowstone. Have you been to Yellowstone? That also is another sacred spot, though it is much greater in area than some of the other places that we're talking about. Yellowstone being a caldera, a volcano that actually collapsed. That's what all those vents are with the steam coming out. Have you been there? Have you enjoyed some of those remarkable scenes of nature? What did you learn from it? How close did you feel as you watched the Creator's works? How close did you feel to the upper dimensions? You see, myself, I think what this is what it's all about. It's very difficult, I do believe, to be in the midst of such incredible beauty without feeling close to the one who made all of this. Whether you have an animal that comes up to you and looks you in the eye, sometimes that can be scary. I was wandering around at one of the parks, and I was a good distance away from my car. I was at Jackson Hole, and there was a settler's farmland there. And as you can imagine, at Jackson Hole, it would get pretty cold in the wintertime, a lot of ice and snow. And I was intrigued with the prairie dogs there. You'd walk along and all of a sudden one would stick their head up at you. And as I am watching the prairie dogs, I missed noticing that, I don't know, I guess there was about 10 buffalo coming over my way, though I'm told buffalo is the incorrect word. It's really bison. And here I am by myself out in the wild with all these bison coming towards me, and they are in between me and my car. I was not going to get back to my car. They were between me and my car. And I have to tell you, that was an anxious moment, because all I could visualize were some of these movies where buffalo are, bison rather, are running and the ground actually shaking. And I'm thinking, are they going to take off and trample me? They weren't. Fortunately for me, they were not very interested in me. They showed no interest whatsoever. They were just following their leader, moseying along, and eventually I found my way back to the car. So sometimes you can have one of these wild adventures, but if they're too close to you, it can be a little scary at times. But I have to say, to see a grizzly a way off now, not too close, a grizzly rolling in some green grass, that's a sight to be seen. But I only want to see those grizzlies through binoculars. I'm willing to see moose a little closer, and I'm willing to see the deer a little closer, but I only want to see the grizzly through binoculars. But for those who are interested in taking pictures, in watching the animals through binoculars, there is nothing like Yellowstone to see wolf running in the wild, to see the black bear moseying around, or grizzly now and then, is quite a sight. Folks, we have 2 minutes. I hope you have enjoyed our little trip through the different churches and the sacred sites and the national parks. I am sorry that we didn't intrigue someone to call in and tell us about your particular experiences. Nothing like having a couple black bear walk in front of your car, though. So until next time, my friends, just let me remind you that the schedule for the conference calls is up for January. Go to the site, www.carolynevers.com. Up in the right-hand corner is conference calls. And that is carolynevers.com. Bless you all. It is a magnificent journey that we are all upon. Talk to you next week. Goodbye.